Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to episode 15 of Jasmine's Tea, being ABC and Gen Z, my podcast where I talk about anything relatable as a first gen ABC Gen Zer. And yeah, welcome back. It's episode 15 already, which is insane. As I mentioned in my last episode, I am trying to take my time a little bit more and keep this as totally a hobby and more of, if anything, like an audio diary for myself to look back on or listen back on. So hopefully that's okay with y'all. I really, really appreciate the continuous support and feedback and just being able to kind of storytell and relate to anyone else out there, whether that be like one person or like five. But yeah, so thanks for the continued support. In today's episode, we're talking about my lifelong journey and experiences with anxiety. And so yeah, it's definitely more of a serious topic. And I think I mentioned this in the past episode, like in a past episode where I was definitely planning on doing this and it's kind of taken a while. Recent events have made me think about it a lot. So I'm going to be sharing a little bit about that. Just a quick disclaimer, if you yourself can be easily triggered by the retelling of specific stories or experiences having to do with the feelings of anxiety, please know that this episode might not be for you. I don't want in any way to kind of make people feel uncomfortable or have some feelings or emotions be resurfaced in a negative way. So I just want to be mindful of that. And yeah, if this episode isn't for you, please feel free to exit out. And yeah, hopefully you can listen to my other episodes that are more lighthearted, but this is definitely going to be a very raw and real storytelling per se. It's more for, yeah, like I said, my personal reflection and looking back. And if you have experienced similar things in your life or having to do with anxiety, I hope that this provides some level of relatability and or, I don't know, like comfort. But yeah, with that, let's go ahead and get into this episode. Of course, we have to start out with the RT recommendation of the episode. So now that this episode is kind of like very nostalgic, I would say, I'm talking a lot about, you know, growing up and my experiences. So the tea that I, it's kind of really random and it's obviously not Asian at all, but one of the teas that I was introduced by my dad was literally iced tea, like an American, like raspberry iced teas particularly. And there's something about like the brisk raspberry iced tea where it's like low-key super artificial tasting, but it's so good because it's like really sweet and obviously don't really taste like too much of the tea. But also Gold's Peak raspberry iced tea is really good. That's my go-to drink of choice at Wingstop. So yeah, I mean, raspberry iced tea is just like, it's really good. And that is my tea recommendation for the day. If you're really in the mood for a sweet tea, that's not super like, I don't know, plain sweet tea taste, you know, like from Cane's or whatever. So yeah, anyways, going into the topic of the day, like I said, my experience with anxiety and how it's affected my life throughout all the different stages and how it's kind of transformed into new ways to really, I don't want to say like F up my life, but anxiety has really taken a huge role in my life when it comes to the smallest of decisions. And when I look at my life on like a macro level, it really puts into perspective, like, I always wonder how my life would be different if I wasn't such an anxious person. And also, I want to start out this this episode for the podcast of saying that I am in no way trying to self-diagnose myself. I know self-diagnosis is a kind of a very heated topic these days because, you know, a lot of people in our generation, we are experiencing very, very high levels of anxiety, depression, mental health issues. And on top of that, it is National Suicide Awareness / Prevention Month, September. And although, you know, I am not saying that I'm self-diagnosed or anything, but anxiety, I definitely feel that it's a very real feeling, and there's a difference between, you know, just being nervous and having anxiety. And throughout my life, I can definitely say that I have, and although I've never, you know, been prescribed by a psychiatrist with anxiety, I definitely know that there's a very fine line to walk between self-diagnosis and people saying, oh, well, I'm just sad, so I'm depressed. That's definitely an issue, these days. And I just want to put that out there that I'm in no way promoting self-diagnosis. And I don't want to sound hypocritical because I am sharing a lot of this and I am saying, hey, like, I do have anxiety, but, you know, I haven't sought out medical professional help as of yet. I'm actually, just to be fully transparent with you all, I'm actually actively seeking, looking for a psychologist. So if y'all have any recommendations also, feel free to hit my line. But I actually do want to get into like why I haven't sought out medically professional help so far, where I'm literally 21 years old. I know I need help. And I think it's very hypocritical of me to be an advocate for mental health when I genuinely myself have not sought out professional help. So that's one thing where it's, I feel, looking back at my life particularly, it's very intertwined with the Asian American experience, with the first generation experience, and anxiety in general. It comes in a lot of waves, although it's perpetually in every aspect of my life. It affects me a lot more during, you know, some weeks than others. And just context, depression is a lot having to do with, you know, the past, and anxiety has a lot to do with the future and the lack of knowledge about the future and just how a lot of things are unknown and they're unsure. And this is, you know, even obviously like way before the pandemic itself, like we're literally living in a time of uncertainty right now. And so it is quite a dangerous time for people with anxiety. And, you know, there's, of course, like, I don't want to get into it too much, but there's all the different forms of anxiety. So there's things like generalized anxiety disorder, you know, panic disorder, social anxiety is a really big one, and, you know, different phobias. For myself, again, I don't want to self-diagnose or anything, but as I'm currently seeking help and I have been to basic therapy in the past, I'm pretty sure I have GAD, but again, do not want to self-diagnose. And so I just want to be completely honest about that. And I was really worried about, you know, talking about this, because I don't want to perpetuate that, you know, oh, you can just like self-diagnose yourself. And that's, you know, it's not really the case because the professionals know what's best. But this is where I am in my journey right now. And back to the whole Asian American experience, and I don't want to blame, you know, this upbringing on why I have not sought help out, but it's more like because anxiety takes different levels of effect on my life throughout the different stages, which I'll go into. Being Asian has definitely not helped, I'm gonna be honest. And I think talking to a lot of my friends, like obviously I did an episode in the past with Jason, who, you know, had bipolar disorder and his experience. And it's really difficult having to have these types of conversations with your immigrant parents because a lot of the time they did not grow up with the concept of mental health because they weren't aware and they just don't really know. Like, they could know and resonate with the feelings I feel, but every generation is going to say that the next generation has it easier and has less to complain about. And I think having better discussions most recently with my own parents, they've really come around a lot and have become a lot more open-minded as I share not only my story and explain to them, you know, throughout my specific life stages and different examples, because they weren't super involved in my childhood due to being working all the time, they understand a lot more. And I think I'm really grateful that I have been given that opportunity in quarantine to share more with my parents. But like I said, it is really difficult for my fellow Asian Americans out there, because every generation is gonna think that the next has it easier. But I've told my parents, you know, hey, like, you didn't even know these things existed. And I think life was a lot more simple for them back then. I don't want to say it was easier at all, because it was a lot of, you know, them working in the field, or them working in the countryside of China. My mom worked in like a fireworks factory as a child, you know, and that's a lot of physical labor. And I'm sure it was quite sad at times. I don't want to use the word depressing, but it is a hard life, but it was a lot more simple versus nowadays. Our generation has so many different things to deal with because of, essentially, I mean, I would put it into terms of like our access to technology and our access to being so globalized. We're exposed to all the problems of the world, all the problems of our country, politically, socially, all the problems of other people. And it definitely has a huge effect on at least my personal anxiety, because I think we have this enormous pressure on our generation to fix and better the world, you know, go into a career where you love your job and you feel important, you're making an impact in the world, you're making the world a better place. But back then, for my parents, you know, in like the 70s, when they were growing up, it was like, hey, you don't even know what's going on with the outside world, just do your job and provide for your family and survive. And that's essentially what it was. And that's all they had to really worry about. Of course, that's a lot to worry about, because survival was just at its core, like, so hard for them and difficult. But now I think the pressure is totally different, because a lot of it, for me at least, feels a lot of the times out of my control. And I think similarly for them, like, it is their fate and like their opportunities were totally out of their control and the lack of. However, now with me, I feel like, wow, I have nothing to really complain about, because we as a generation have so much access to everything, technology or not. We have this great opportunity as American born Chinese, or, you know, being in America, you see that the American dream is possible. You were given such a lucky life to be born here, at least, again, my perspective. But I feel like, you know, at this point, like, oh, I've been set up with a foundation where I'm so lucky. And so it's a lot of pressure built up around success. And I want to kind of go and pivot into how, when I was really, really young, anxiety slowly kind of spilled into my life without me choosing it. And I think that's a huge part of me getting my parents to understand a lot of mental health and anxiety in particular, them getting to understand it's that I've been like this my entire life, and it's not something you choose to experience or choose to have, the mindset, because ever since I could remember, I've been told, hey, you worry too much, or hey, you're too hard on yourself, or, you know, the title of this episode is literally being a five-year-old with anxiety, and I think that's, at 5 years old, that is when I realized I wasn't necessarily normal. I was always worried and nervous and jittery, and so I have very specific memories growing up. So starting in preschool, My grandparents took care of me a lot of the time at home. So I would be home. I wouldn't, you know, be in daycare too much. And my mom would go to work, and I would ask her every night before work, what time she got off work the next day before I went to sleep. And she would tell me, hey, I get off at 5 o'clock. So if she got off at 5 o'clock, at this point, I'm 5 years old. I don't know how to read a clock. So I learned my numbers, and I would run to the microwave every, you know, I don't know, few hours or whatever. And I would read the microwave, like, by the numbers, because it's like a digital clock. And when it would be, you know, like 4:50 or like 4:55 or whatever, I'd run to the garage door, and I would literally stand there in front of the garage door until she came home. And I would watch, like, as I would run back to the microwave and run back to the garage door every few minutes. And once it was past five, you know, like, obviously as a child, like, I didn't understand the concept of, like, oh, you have to drive and it takes time to drive. So obviously, you know, if she got off at five, she would probably get home at like 5:10, 5:15 from work, because she had to drive back. And every ticking minute after 5 o'clock, I would feel like an increase in my heart racing, and I would get like very nervous, and I would get very worried and like basically just freaked out. And this would happen like all the time. And I just remember vividly, like, every minute that would pass by, I would start to think, and this especially with trips as well, like if my mom and dad were going to the Bay Area for a day to get groceries or whatever, or they were going on a day trip, I would literally like get so scared every ticking minute, because they'd be like, oh, we're coming home at seven or whatever. And every minute my heart rate would increase, I would start sweating, and then as soon as they walked through that door, or my mom walked through that door, I would just start yelling at her. I would be like, you told me you were coming home at five. Like, it's like, imagine your five-year-old or six-year-old, like, yelling at you for coming home late. And now that I talk about it with my parents now, I'm like, look, did you not think that that was, like, abnormal for a child? And then my mom was just like, I don't know, we just thought that you were just too worried all the time, but we never thought about why or anything. And yeah, that's one example where I would literally get mad at her every time. And sometimes I would really like cry. And throughout my life, it just continue. Like, it was a huge thing amongst like my family and my family's friends. Every time someone picked me up from like ballet or whatever, my aunt would pick me up, and I would be like, okay, where am I going? Or like, where are we going? You know, either she's taking me home or she's taking me to her house to eat, right? Like, obviously one or the other, like, there's not that many options. But I would always ask every time I got in someone's car, hey, where are we going? And sometimes, you know, it got to a point where they were kind of making fun of me, or they'd just laugh at me and they'd be like, oh, don't worry about it. Or they'd be like, oh, like jokingly, like, oh no, I'm taking you, blah, 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 like somewhere else. And I would genuinely fear for my life. Like, I would start sweating, I would get super scared, but I wouldn't say anything because, I mean, as I've mentioned in previous episodes, I was really shy as a child. So I internalized everything I was feeling, and I honestly felt like I could, like, combust at any minute and just, like, start bawling, but I was so scared. I was just scared all the time that anything bad could happen. And especially with my parents' day trips and stuff, I would start visualizing, you know, like, did they get in a car accident? Or did they, I don't know, did they leave? Like, did they not, are they never gonna come back? And I think, like, all these, you know, situations in my mind, like, for a child, it was really intense to deal with, because I couldn't communicate them to anyone, and I mean, it never really, like, came up in conversation, right? Like, no one asked me, like, oh, why are you always, like, freaking out? So this continued throughout my life. And then I would say, I mean, I continued in private school. I had a very limited amount of friends. And then, as I also mentioned before, I went to public middle school. And this is when I got a little bit better, because I learned to relax a bit. There was a lot of, there was not a lot of high expectations for me because school was pretty easy. I started learning how to make friends. And then I felt like middle school wasn't too bad. It was probably the one period of my life where I was the least anxious. I don't necessarily really know why. But I would say I was generally happy, actually. And hence my second episode where I talk about how I peaked in middle school. But once I got into high school, the anxiety really took it a whole different form, and I had no idea until I went to college. And like at this age, I'm able to reflect on how I was feeling and what happened. And it was like crazy because I thought I was just like an angsty teen. I mean, like, okay, any teenager is really like goes through that angsty phase where they're like a rebel, like they hate their parents and, you know, they just like want to do what they want and stuff. And especially in an Asian household, I was like, yeah, like whatever, it's normal. But until recently, I read this article about how anxiety and anxiety attacks can take different forms. And a lot of the time, that takes a form of deflection for me and a lot of angst in kind of attacking people, especially those that I care about and especially those that are close to me. So I remember a lot of the times in high school, my relationship with my parents and my dad especially were at an all-time low. Like, it was really bad. My parents and like my dad would only eat dinner with us once a week because he was always working. And I knew, like, every Thursday we would just have an argument, and like I would knowingly go into dinner every Thursday, like, okay, well, we're gonna fight again. I wonder what it's gonna be this time. I think it was because I was just so on edge all the time. And the anxiety was probably induced by me just having to literally feel like no one really put the pressure on me to be successful, you know, go to a good college. Like, okay, I think that was a given. Like, my parents obviously expected that, and I knew that, but they weren't tiger parents, like, in high school. Like, honestly, it could have been a lot worse. Like, yes, I did go to Chinese school, I did take piano lessons, I did take SAT prep, but because they knew I was a super self-motivated kid, they were never, like, too worried for me. And this is where I see a lot of, you know, I recently read an article about high achievers with high anxiety, and my friend actually showed me that article, and I've never resonated more with an article in my life. Like, it literally talked about how the people that look like they're doing the most and they kind of have everything in their life, they're the ones that are never really satisfied. And I think that really scares me because it's kind of true. Like, in high school, I was literally that, you know, typical ESFJ, but that kid who I played sports. I was in ASB all 4 years. I did a yearbook. I did feel like I had a lot of friends. I was on prom court, like, taking AP classes. So on the outside looking in, it really looked like I had it all, you know? Like, this girl's so well-rounded. This girl, like, volunteers. Like, she does cheer and swim, and she does ASB, and, like, she has great grades, and she's gonna go to a good college. And I never had anything to complain about, and I was always striving to do more, to get a job, to work, like, to literally pack my schedule. And I think my excuse at the time was which was really valid, was that, you know, my parents didn't let me go out because I had to babysit, hence my other episode about my side hustles and working and everything. But that was very valid, but it was also a sense of there's self-motivation, and then there's like motivation to just not be a failure, you know? And I feel like that was totally me. Like, I just didn't want to fail, and I wanted to do everything I possibly could to not feel like a failure. And yet, even though I was doing all of these things, I still felt insufficient. I graduated, you know, with honors. Like, I had like what other people would look at as like a great high school experience. Yet I am so unhappy with it, or I was definitely unhappy at the time. And now that I'm in college, even choosing a college too, the college decision process was so rough for me, because once again, like, I didn't want to make the wrong choice. Like, I didn't want to go to Berkeley because I didn't want to, you know, become, I knew I had an anxiety issue by the time I was doing my college apps. I looked back and I was like, oh, I have nothing to complain about. I have no struggles to write about. What am I going to write about for my college essays? Then I started really reflecting on my life and how different it was than other people's. And I was like, oh shit, like, actually, I'm super anxious. Like, do I have anxiety? Like, I had never heard of anxiety or what it really felt like until, like, senior year of high school. And that's when I was like, wow, like, on paper, have this checklist of, you know, an ideal life. And yet I'm still unhappy. And that's where I was really discovering more about myself and being a lot more introspective. So going into college, I'm about to be a senior, you know, and it's really been the same way. Like, I really feel like nothing has changed. I've tried so hard to stay involved, to be involved in different organizations on campus, and it does bring me joy because I am an extrovert. However, I still fear that it's gonna transfer into my career the same way, where my mom has also had this conversation multiple times with me, like, are you ever going to be satisfied? I always think, like, hey, if I do XYZ, I'm gonna get here, and then I'll be happy. But once I do that, and then I achieve whatever, like, I set out to do, it's like, okay, great, I'm here. Why am I not satisfied? And I think happiness for me, like, I just want to be happy. And I think people with anxiety, similarly, like, it's never enough because the future is so unwritten, and I hate not knowing what's gonna happen. Like, I genuinely do not like the fact that I cannot plan out exactly what's gonna happen with my life and the outcomes of it, because as much of a planner as I am and as organized as I am, obviously life's gonna throw curveballs at you. I don't take risks unless they're calculated, and every part of my decision making is very thought out. I don't know, like, even, like, before a big day, like, I will literally have to lay in bed, visualize every minute of every day so that I can best prepare for every possible situation that might come up. That's how I live my life, and that's how I've always lived my life, and I never thought that that wasn't normal until I explored more about anxiety and its effects on people and why that makes us different. And yeah, I think at this point of my life, going into recruiting for a full-time job and literally in the middle of a pandemic, I mean, it's been 6 months. And I think, as I mentioned in my quarantine video, like, episode about hitting a wall, the first few months of quarantine, I was honestly surprisingly doing really well. These past 2 months, however, if you ask, like, any of my friends, I hate the feeling of not feeling like I'm working towards anything right now because I don't have the outlets that I used to have. I hate to admit it, but, like, I don't really know when the last time I was really happy was. And the things that do make me happy, I guess my outlets, you could say, like, you can't do those in quarantine. Like, I can't travel anymore. I can't be with my friends, as a natural extrovert is, you know, they recharge by socializing, and Zooms are not the same. So I think the past 2 months, it's really, like, hit me, and the anxiety with the economy, with all these political issues going on, I mean, the election, job security, like, even picking a career at this point, like, there is so much crap that is building up right now, where I've been having more anxiety attacks than normal, and once again, like, I do not want to self-diagnose. However, I'm pretty sure that I do have anxiety attacks because, like I said, they can take different forms. Sometimes I'm in a complete panic and I will literally, like, not be able to, I feel like I'm not breathing. Like, my chest will feel like super like someone's pressing down on my chest. Like, I think it's normal, honestly, for this. It's kind of really sad because, like, this generation, like, my friends and I, we don't joke about, like, these things like that, but it's more like we can relate, and it's a totally normal conversation to have, where one of us will say, yeah, I cried myself to sleep, and no one's surprised, you know? Like, we've really hit that point as a generation, I feel, where it is normalized more, and maybe it is more in, like, a California college thing. I don't know about out of state or different cultures, and I've realized too that as this podcast grows to other regions and other countries, y'all totally have a different culture, and so it's pretty wild to me. And I know, like, I should be a little bit more inclusive when it comes to, like, my stories, and I know especially, like, stereotyping and generalizing is a little bit of a fine line to walk, because I only know my experience, and obviously California is, like, already very progressive and diverse. So I'd love to know if y'all want to write to me about that at jasminesteapodcast@gmail.com. Slight plug, but yeah, this rant is literally going on forever, but that's how I feel, and that's where I'm at, guys. And I don't know, like, I'm at that point where, I mean, today, like, was a pretty good day, you know? Like, the 3-day weekend really did your girl good. But you asked me, like, last weekend, I was literally crying myself to sleep twice a week, and not twice a week, like, two or three times a week. And I've struggled with myself, like, going back and forth, like, should I, you know, seek help? Because some days I'm fine, some days I'm not, and then I feel bad because I'm like, my friends are not my therapists, and that's not fair to them, and yeah, like, I just need to stop being a hypocrite, and I need to, like, man up, and the okay, I should not have said man up, but the part also where I feel like people like me, they don't want to seek help is more of, like, as of right now, on paper, like I said, I'm 21 years old, I'm about to graduate college, I'm employed, on paper, I have nothing to complain about, you know? And if I was talking to any friend, I would say, hey, like, do not invalidate your mental health, do not invalidate your feelings, your struggles. However, here I am invalidating my own experiences and, like, need for help, because I'm like, look, like, I know, you know, psychologists, psychiatrists, and therapists right now, like, it's crazy. Like, I'm sure they're overwhelmed. Like, people are out here in COVID, unemployed, homeless, they lost their jobs, they're really struggling out here with real world problems. And me being the person I am, I will never not feel guilty about anything I do. I feel guilty all the time. I feel nervous all the time. And as much as I really project and present myself as such a confident and put together individual and, like, a girl who does not give two shits, like, that's who I'm, I would say, like, known for within my social circles, it's more of, like, me projecting a version of myself that I want to be. And I think I'm at a point where I'm low-key having an identity crisis, because I don't know if that's actually who I am, because on the inside, I'm totally, like, falling apart. And I think I've really, like, tailored myself or, like, trained myself to present myself in that way where maybe that's just the type of person I want to be. I've always told myself to fake it till I make it, and I don't know if I will ever feel like I truly have made it. And that's what scares me, and that's what also, like, scares my mom. Like, we talk about it, it's like, I mean, she's joked about it before. She's like, don't, like, I feel like you're never gonna get married. And you know, folks, that may be true, because she's like, I don't know, like, you're never really satisfied, or, like, it's not that I have high standards, it's more like, I'm naturally a realistic person, I'm not an idealistic person, I am very straight to the point, and I don't like to have hope, to be completely honest. I'm very, very as it is type of gal, you know? Like, I'm going to give people it straight, and I'm gonna say, look, buddy, I really don't think you should, you know, be so optimistic about these situations. So it's a lot of that, and it's a lot of fear with the future of, like, okay, I'm setting myself up for quote-unquote success and happiness career-wise, you know, as a business major, as especially, what if I make it to whatever Google or, like, any FANG company? Like, what if I make it to freaking CEO? Like, am I still gonna be not satisfied? Probably, because I'm just so damn hard on myself. And I think people similar to me, like, with anxiety, it's like, it's never gonna go away. And I need to find a way to deal with this. So, long story short, this is where I am. This has been my eternal struggle with anxiety, and I don't think it's ever really going to go away, but I think reading into it and further educating myself while I'm seeking help currently and actively, I'm definitely hoping to deal with it a lot better and have more of a hopeful mentality about life, because I think overall I have a very negative perspective of life and what life could be for me, because I'm just so damn hard on myself. And that's not a surprise to people who know me. So I would say I'm just kind of trying to tell my story, because if you're in any way similar, I'm gonna tell you, like, I feel you and I get it, and I really, like, this is just how it is. Like, I don't choose to be so negative about things. I don't choose to be the negative Nancy party pooper of the group. I don't want to be unhappy, but yet somehow, like, I choose to be sad over hopeful, because I just don't like getting my hopes up, and I don't like feeling stagnant or, like, yeah. At this point, I'm just ranting too much, but key takeaways here, really, get help if you need it. Like, this is me being, like, such a hypocrite. I'm literally 21 years old. I have contemplated reaching out or, like, you know, scheduling an appointment or whatever for the past 3 years, like, ever since I went to college. And I tried therapy one time, and your girl was like, I didn't like that girl. So I just stopped going, because I'm like, it's not for me, whatever. I should not have stopped looking. I should not have stopped going. I should have just looked for a better person or a therapist that aligned more with me, making me feel more comfortable. Take as this as, like, a lesson, I guess. I'm really happy that our generation is normalizing it more, but I think we are normalizing the idea of mental health, where in a conversation you could have with your friends, hey, like, yeah, I have anxiety, I have depression, blah blah blah, but no one's really talking about, like, their exact experiences and struggles when they're actually, like, when shit hits the fan, you know? Like, I think we're lacking in that department of, like, actually seeking help, and where it's like, oh yeah, I have therapy next week, or like, oh, I can't hang out, I have therapy, you know? I feel like I've heard that a few times recently, which is good. Like, I'm proud of those people that are normalizing it, you know? But if you're not, it's totally okay. Like, if it's obviously a private matter, and you should share whatever you feel comfortable with, but I definitely think, like, if you're on the other end and you aren't experiencing these things that, you know, a majority of our generation, I feel at this point, is, we should be a lot more sensitive to it, and we should be a lot more open to having these conversations, because it's important, and it surprisingly will make anyone feel better and feel more comfortable, if it's your friend, if it's your family, if it's yourself. So, tea spilling, literally me once again exposing my entire personal life on the internet. And if you stuck around for this long, like, thank you, I guess. I'm sorry if this made you any more sadder, or, like, I don't know. Definitely reach out if you want to talk about anything, for if you resonate with any of these stories or feelings. But yeah, don't worry too much about me, y'all. Like, honestly, I am seeking help, and I have great friends. So they've just been super supportive, and I've been having a lot of insightful and fruitful conversations recently. So yeah, with that being said, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 15, and I will see y'all next time. Bye.